You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Pardon me for making this parallel, but there's a small sliver of copy of the ABBA film, Mamma Mia.
Okay.
Sorry. Well, same type of thing, right? The woman lead in there is a past singer, and she gets together with her two friends because they were.
Well, I think in the fact that you know there's families and music in it. All right, yeah.
Yeah, that's about it. That's about where the similarity ends. But all right, good. So we got Meryl. Meryl always, like you said, Meryl always puts on a good performance. Has there been a bad one that she has ever flopped in?
I wouldn't. I'm not gonna venture into such treacherous waters. Perhaps another time. I just don't feel up to it quite yet.
All right. All right, so we got a good one there. What's your pick of the week? So we get two out of three.
Let's see. Dave from 1993. This is
PG-13. I love this movie.
It's directed by Ivan Reitman. And it stars Kevin Kline, Sigourney Weaver, Frank Langella, and Ben Kingsley. And it's a regular guy who runs an employment agency has to fill in for the president.
Right.
And we get what I suppose you could refer to as very Capra-esque, Frank Capra-esque stuff.
Yep.
Faith in the common man, and you know, it's certainly sentimental, but it works. I was just, you know, this last film had a nice performance by Kevin Kline. I was thinking of his performances and so forth, and so I came to Dave, and I think it's worth a look. And it's interesting because as I was reading about the film and reactions to the film, one reviewer said, "I wonder if one is curious as to how it will play in you know, subsequent years." And this was a contemporary review, and again, the film was done in 1993, and I think it holds up well.
Yeah, whenever it's on, I check it out. It's a lighthearted film.
Yeah, it certainly is, but it's not without its genuine moments.
Yep.
And I think, you know, perhaps if people haven't seen it, obviously, or maybe have forgotten it,
yep,
you know, just give it another look.
Yep. Kevin Kline, man, he's got some chops. He's got so many different different characters that he plays. And
well, you know, he's a guy who really has devoted more of his energy to the stage and such as opposed to films, and it is rather. You know, he's been working. He's been seen more lately.
Mm-hmm.
It's something he's always. You know, he's someone always who can be so relied upon, if you will,
right,
to give us something. To give us something that, you know, I mean, that is interesting, that's fun, and he's always compelling on screen, and that's not easy to do.
I was looking for what the word is, but yeah, compelling is it. And now that you mentioned that he does a lot more stage, I think that makes it obvious. He draws you in to him instead of blending. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's you know, there's a guy that really. You know, he's done some remarkable work. He's done a number of films over the years, and as I said, always compelling. Always, you know, the one I reviewed on this program not too long ago, The Last of Robin Hood. And although the film didn't get very great reviews, which I rather liked it,
mm-hmm,
but as a debauched Errol Flynn, I don't know anybody else who could have done it.
Right.
Or done it as well, let's say. I mean, and he's a guy that, you know, that it brings, you know, Flynn's character out is less than sterling, and yet he manages to make this guy somewhat human. It's really quite something.
Yep. And I loved him in Fish Called Wanda. I thought that was hilarious.
Well, yeah.
How can you pass that one up? Cool. All right. So we got Dave, one of my favorites. Thank you for bringing that one up. And we got the Sigourney Weaver film and Stay Away From... I needed to ask this question. Why is it Victor?
What?
Why is it Victor Frankenstein?
You got to ask Mary Shelley that one.
Oh, really? Okay. I'm just saying, it was Igor. How did we get to Victor?
Well, no. Igor is the assistant.
Oh,
okay. Doctor.
Okay. Oh, the doctor is Victor Frankenstein?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Frankenstein is not the monster. The monster doesn't have a name.
No, I know. I thought the actual doctor was named Victor. I didn't know that. Okay.
Well, yeah, and then, but this is more taken from the novel rather than the films. But
okay.
he has different, and then there's so many, it's gone on for so long, and you have so many sequels and so forth. Yeah, the name can get confusing, but in this film, it's Victor, and as I said, Igor actually gets a surname in this one.
Oh, Igor. All right. Very good. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it as always.
Right.
We'll talk to you again next week. Have a great one.
Next week.
Take care. All right, my good friend Mike, giving me some info there. You got the Meryl Streep movie. You got Stay Away From Victor Frankenstein. And of course, if you want to pull up Dave, that's a great one with Kevin Kline. And Sigourney Weaver, who you'd be surprised does a great job as the First Lady. It's time for us to take a break. We'll be back with more of Good Morning Hunter and HunterJimmy.com. Right after the news and the weather.
It's the shadow that's over, covers me and I can't see. So you better move over, 'cause I can't breathe. And there's a fiery eye.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News. I'm Ron Taylor. The investigation and the attempt at healing both continue today in San Bernardino, California, following this week's mass shooting. Joshua Katz is a former senior policy advisor to the chairman of the House Committee on Homeland Security. He tells Fox News there's no doubt Syed Farouk.
You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Scrooge. Get up to 5% back in rewards on everything every day, plus free shipping at staples.com. Get more for less. Staples. Make more happen.
5% back in rewards excludes postage, gift, or prepaid phone cards and purchases made on third-party websites. Rewards not paid on taxes, delivery charges, or coupons. See staples.com for details.
This Wednesday through Sunday at Kohl's, only once a year, take an extra 25% off with your friends and family savings pass. Use it on top of already great savings in-store and online. Plus, everyone gets $10 Kohl's cash for every $50 spent. And gift giving just got easier at Kohl's. Now you can buy online, pick up in store. Skip the shipping fee and get it today. Kohl's. Some exclusions apply. See store at Kohl's.com for details.
With two recent mass shootings, debate is high about increasing gun restrictions.
USA's Russ Jones talked with a gun rights advocate who says the shooting in California is evidence that even strict gun control doesn't work.
The state of California has the toughest gun laws in the nation, but that didn't seem to stop terrorists from killing 14 people and injuring 21 others in San Bernardino. Larry Pratt, executive director of Gun Owners of America.
All of our mass murders that have occurred in our country, save two, since 1950, have taken place in these blasted gun-free zones mandated by the government. Now, and I guess in this case, it wasn't actually mandated by the government. It was policy, but it was the same effect, of course.
Pratt maintains tougher gun laws punish the wrong people, the responsible gun owners, and won't stop extremists who seek to kill. I'm Russ Jones.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Get your plenty card at Exxon or Mobil and start earning points at lots of places.
So I get points for filling up at Exxon?
You sure do.
What about getting coffee at Mobil?
Points.
Streaming TV shows on Hulu?
Definitely.
Points on my AT&T wireless bill?
Yep.
Buying soap?
At Rite Aid.
Buying you a birthday present?
Points at Macy's.
Visiting your parents?
No. You get marriage points.
Oh.
Exxon and Mobil are the only fuel brands that are part of Plenty, the rewards program that lets you earn points at one place and use them at another. Join Plenty for free through a participating Exxon or Mobil station today. Terms and limitations apply. See Plenty.com/partners for details.
Two Tennessee legislators want the head of a university to resign because he encouraged employees to make sure their holiday party is not a, quote, Christmas party in disguise. The Republican lawmakers called for the resignation of the University of Tennessee Knoxville chancellor yesterday because of tips on the university's website on how to avoid endorsing a specific religion or culture during a holiday party. The deadly shooting in San Bernardino, California, hits close to home for a New York Giants football player. Nat Burhe says his cousin was among the 14 people killed in Wednesday's mass shooting. Burhe is a native of San Bernardino County and attended San Diego State University. Shortly after the shooting, Burhe posted on Twitter that his parents worked in an office building close to the shooting location. In the event that you missed Thursday night football, it was a real barn burner. Adrian Rodgers' 61-yard Hail Mary touchdown pass to Richard Rodgers on the final play lifted the Green Bay Packers past the Detroit Lions 27-23 on Thursday night football at Ford Field. It was the Hail Mary of all Hail Marys.
I knew it was going to be in the end zone. I felt good about the throw, getting to the end zone. And I knew by the height that I put on it that we were going to have a chance to have some guys around it.
And from the guy who caught the ball?
I mean, I didn't really know what was going on around me. I just locked in on the ball and tried to make a play and made sure I was in the end zone. That's really all I was trying to do.
Green Bay dominated the second half of the game and came back to win the game 27-23. Powered by WesternJournalism.com, I'm Ron Taylor, and this is USA Radio News.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big Z coming to you from HuntertonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
It is 9:06, time for Hunterdon Chamber Radio weather. Temperature is 45 degrees in Flemington, partly cloudy skies, 5-mile-an-hour winds, no chance of precipitation. It is Friday, TGIF, Friday, December 4th, partly cloudy skies and a high of 52 today, winds west-northwest 5 to 10 miles an hour. Clear skies tonight and a low near 30, so the Christmas parade in Clinton is a go. No wetness, no precipitation, thank you. Winds will be light and variable. Sunny skies and 54 tomorrow, light and variable winds. Clear skies Saturday night, mainly sunny on Sunday with a high of 54. Partly cloudy on Sunday night with a low of 31. So the holiday parade in Flemington, the Hunterdon Holiday Parade, is a go. No problem there. Monday, partly cloudy 53. Partly cloudy 51 on Tuesday the 8th. Wednesday night, partly cloudy skies, 52. What great weather, man. I'm just ogling the rest of the week, and it's all 50s. No complaint there. All right. Temperatures in our area, 46 in Tewksbury, 44 in the town of Clinton, 46 in Reddington, 47 in Hillsboro, 45 in East Amwell, 43 in New Hope, 44 in Stockton, and 41 in Phillipsburg. Good morning, Hunter and Hunter Chamber Radio weather.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and...
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com. Mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent. Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunter and Chamber Radio?
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Well, good afternoon. I apologize. I certainly am a little bit more than a little late today. And this is, of course, Friday, the... Can you believe December 4th? Well, we're into December, although if you were out there today, it didn't seem like it. However, if you want to have a good day or the rest of your evening, I suggest that you try to avoid Route 31, either north or south. It is worse than usual, and it's usually a nightmare. So, but what is happening today, what's happening tonight, this weekend, as far as weather, you know, this is one of the weekends that people tend to put up a lot of decorations. And, of course, we have to wish Happy Hanukkah, which starts this weekend. And so the tree lights, the outside lights, certainly getting decorated. In fact, most people, I think, or many people went out after Thanksgiving because the weekend was so nice. So what's happening this weekend if you are looking for clear weather? Well, tonight, in fact, is clear, should be clear. Tomorrow, sunny, high of about 52 degrees. Mostly clear tomorrow night. It should get down to freezing, however. And then on Sunday, again, sunny, high of about 54 degrees. So we really have got a beautiful weekend to get out there. If you still have leaves, of course, good time to get rid of the leaves because it should be dry enough that you can either blow or rake them without much difficulty. So, of course, today's Friday, and it should be 4 o'clock, and the program, It's the Law. So I thought what I'd do, I was going to do a recap of some of the important cases that were decided this year by our various courts. However, a couple of things have come up. People have asked me some questions about, let me tell you what they are about. Well, first of all, there is a sense that if the trial judge makes a mistake at the trial, either family, civil, criminal, it's just very easy to file an appeal. Well, it's easy to file an appeal from the standpoint of you have the right to file an appeal. However, it's certainly not easy. It's extremely time-consuming because of what has to be submitted to the appellate division. And when I say what has to be submitted, in addition to a copy of the transcript from the trial or hearing before the trial court, you have to attach exhibits. They have to be, each page has to be numbered, and you have to attach anything that was important with respect to the appeal. And in fact, that can be a problem if something that should be attached is not included in your appellate appendix, and that's what they call it, an appendix. In addition to that, you have to file a brief, and by brief, it's not necessarily brief, although there are some, you have to be careful on certain page limitations without special approval. However, what we do as attorneys, we usually, and in fact, I always suggest that there is a preliminary statement, so you can right up front let the court know what is important about this appeal, and then you have to provide a statement of facts. And of course, you don't avoid facts. You have to put the facts in, however you want to emphasize the facts that are favorable to your client. And then there will be certain points of legal argument that you're making. In other words, why did the trial judge, why was there an error? An appellate court of two or three judges overturn what the trial court did. And so it's really important for people to understand that although you can file an appeal, it's not necessarily going to be successful. And in fact, the statistics are not great, especially in matrimonial cases and certain criminal cases in the same way. But what, in fact, does this new court do? And they are very, what we call a hot court. In other words, they will have had law clerks do memos. They will read the briefs. They will look at all of the important exhibits. And they will be prepared for oral argument, they will be prepared to ask questions. In fact, at times when you appear before the appellate division, you might get one sentence out before they start peppering you with questions. And you have to very carefully listen to the questions, especially if they're questioning the other attorney. Recently, for example, I had an appeal, and I had a whole area that I was going to argue against something that the other side had. They had filed the appeal, and they had made a certain argument, and I was all prepared to, you know, spend whatever time necessary to refute their argument. Well, as I listened to the questions from the judges, it was clear to me that they were basically poo-pooing that argument, and I really didn't have to focus any time on that. I could focus on some other issues. And in fact, one of the judges asked me a question that was the perfect question. I would have made the argument, and he allowed me to make the argument in a response to the question. So what, however, is important for the appellate division? And there are cases that talk specifically about what the judges, the appellate judges have to do. And so in the appeal, the appellate court's review of a trial judge's factual findings following a non-jury trial is limited. So there are no jury trials in family law cases. There are jury trials in some civil cases and, of course, in most criminal cases. But when we're focusing on a non-jury trial, so specifically cases that are on appeal from the family part or court of equity, the review then is of the factual findings that the judge makes. And in these cases, a judge does need to make factual findings. For example, in a family law case, the judge has to make factual findings on a number of points with respect to equitable distribution of the assets. The factual findings with respect to income, factual findings with respect to a number of factors that go into whether or not an award of alimony should be made and the amount of alimony. So all of these things have to be found by the judge. So what the appellate courts say is that generally, findings by the trial court are binding on appeal when supported by adequate, substantial, credible evidence. And that comes right out of a case, Cesar v. Cesar. And that was a Supreme Court case and a Supreme Court decision that the appellate court really can't step in and say, well, we would have done it this way. If, in fact, the trial judge made adequate findings of fact, they have to uphold from that decision. So as I'm talking about matrimonial matters, the deference is the appellate division finds that deference to the trial court is especially appropriate when the evidence is largely testimonial and involves questions of credibility. And that's often the case in a matrimonial trial, that there will be issues, many issues will be based on the credibility of the parties testifying. So that's really important. The reason for that is the appellate courts will say, and it's true, that the trial judge has a feel of the case, meaning that the trial judge is sitting and he or she is not only listening to the witnesses, but they're observing the witnesses, they're observing everything that goes on in the courtroom. And the appellate court has a transcript of the proceedings, but they're basically reading it. It's reading like a book. So in fact, at the time of trial, trial attorneys have to be very careful as to, you know, how they question in order to make sure that the transcript is going to sound the way they want it to sound. And I don't mean they're setting it up, but I mean that it can't be ambiguous. The testimony has to be clear when somebody reads it. And it's very interesting because often, what will happen at trial is a question will be asked of a witness, and the witness sits there and takes 30 seconds, 40 seconds to answer the question. Well, if you're just looking at the transcript, you'll see the question and you'll see the answer. So in fact, sometimes it's really necessary to, you know, say something to the witness. I know you're taking a long time to answer this question. Did you understand my question? And at least that way the appellate division would know that, there's a lot of delay in the response. So the appellate court feels that the trial courts are in a much better position to make firsthand credibility judgments about the witnesses who appear on the stand. And it seems to me that that's one of the most difficult things I would find and I've never wanted to be a judge, but if I was a judge, you will hear a story, and I'm focusing now on family law cases, divorce cases that are tried, or domestic violence cases that are tried, and you will hear the testimony of one witness on an issue, and let's say you hear the testimony of the wife on an issue, and then you hear the husband's testimony about the same issue, and you really can't believe you're in the same case. In other words, it's just so divergent that it doesn't seem possible that these two people could be talking about the same thing. And that's where credibility is important, because a trial judge has to sift out, you know, what is truth and who's more credible when they're testifying. Now, and that's why the appellate court will say review of the cold record alone can never adequately convey the actual happenings in a courtroom. And this is certainly true. I mean, it's very interesting sometimes to read a transcript after, you know, being there in person. And it's not the same, obviously. So as a result, the appellate courts are loath to just take any and make any change on factual findings. So, in fact, what the rule or the way they handle it is that a reversal, meaning they reverse the trial court, and that's only warranted when a mistake must have been made because the trial court's factual findings are, and this is a quote, so manifestly unsupported by or inconsistent with the competent, relevant, and reasonably credible evidence as to offend the interests of justice. And this goes back to a case that was decided back in 1974. But that's what the appellate court hangs their hat on, so to speak. Now, however, so what happens, of course, when a reviewing court concludes there is a satisfactory evidentiary support for the trial court's findings, then they view their task is complete, and they should not disturb whatever the result was. And there are many cases that talk about this and say deference is appropriately accorded to fact-finding. However, the other issue is what about if the trial judge makes legal conclusions, which of course they have to do. So when the trial judges when a trial judge makes legal conclusions, then applies those legal conclusions to the facts, that's what is subject to their review at the appellate division. In other words, if the judge simply cites a statute, or for example, in a matrimonial case, if a judge said that because a business is owned by the wife and she established that business during the marriage and was a successful business, if a trial judge would say that under the law it's her business because she established it during marriage, that would be wrong under the equitable distribution statute. So, in fact, in that case, the appellate court would say no. The judge, on the facts, business in wife's name established during the marriage, but on the facts, the judge's legal conclusion that it was hers because it was she established it during the marriage and worked in it, that would be overturned. So that is the situation, of course, and so of course, legal conclusions that the judges make are always reviewed, and we call it de novo, meaning they're reviewed, and the appellate court will not uphold legal conclusions that are not correct. So we'll come back and talk a little bit more about some issues that come up at trial after I break and give you a little information about some of our sponsors.
Ho, ho, ho. It's that time of year to come out and enjoy the Hunterdon Holiday Parade, sponsored by my good friends at Hunterdon Radiological Associates. This year, all my friends and I will be parading down Main Street in Flemington starting at 5 p.m. on Sunday, December 6th, snow or shine. Ho, ho, ho. Thank you to ShopRite of Flemington, the Flemington Bid, the Borough of Flemington, Liberty Village Premium Outlets, Fusco's Rental World, and Witham Smith and Brown for their hospitality to me and my elves. If you miss it, I may need to recheck my list. I'll see you there. Happy holidays.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
And I hope everyone out there listens to that commercial from NAMI Hunterdon, because if you know of a family who has a adult or child with mental illness, or they're concerned about that child or young adult, definitely they should call NAMI Hunterdon. They have some excellent programs. And again, their number is 908-284-0500. So I really encourage people to take advantage of this wonderful resource that we have in our community.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce. Building business. One business at a time.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families.
We're not quite at the news yet, so we'll pick that up right before I play the news. So another issue has come up, because often I will hear my spouse is underemployed. I want my wife to go back to work, but she won't do it. We need money. The marriage is falling apart, and she's been told that she should stay home. Now, I realize I'm talking gender here, but that's generally what happens. It's generally a mom who, if both parents aren't working, it may be the mom, although sometimes the dad, who is staying home to be the primary caretaker of the children. And so that, of course, when a marriage ends, and even a relatively short marriage, if one person has given up a career, the big A word comes into the mix. And when I say the A word, it means alimony. So the issue then, if both people are working, they've been working, and basically they're working in the jobs that they've been working in during the marriage, then the issue is simply what is the discrepancy, if any, between their incomes. So if you have a high-income husband or a high-income wife and their spouse earns substantially less, then you have to look at whether or not alimony is appropriate. Now, I will say that it's still a bigger battle if you're representing the husband who is the lower wage earner. But in any event, the issue that I wanted to talk about here is whether or not the court should impute income. And this is often an issue because, for example, right now I have a case where the wife is working as a teacher's aide, part-time substitute teacher's aide. Well, now, is that an appropriate work for her at this stage of her life? Is it appropriate for, should she be earning more money? Should she be working full-time? Is she underemployed because of her skills? All of these things come into play. So let's take the situation where a woman has dropped out of the workforce to stay home with the kids, and she's been home for 10 years. And now she's going back, and she's a substitute teacher's aide in a public school, and she works maybe one or two days a week. Well, what are some of the questions that we would be asking to see whether the court should be imputing more income to her? First of all, how many children? What are their ages? So if you have someone who has three teenagers, and although they may be out of the workforce for the same amount of time as someone with young children, that is a factor, because with young children, the probability is that we'll have to find daycare for the children if the wife goes back to work full time. So that's one issue. The other issue is, what type of work did she do prior to taking time off for the kids? Or that's usually the what people say, well, I'm going to take some time off for the kids. Very often, both parents say, yeah, we, you know, that's what you should do. I mean, I'm more than once have had husbands who said and admitted that they did not want their wives to work outside of the home. But of course, then when there's a divorce, they do. The other issue is, what did she do? Is the mom a high school graduate? Does she have an associate's degree? You know, does she have a college degree or beyond? That's another issue as to what is her educational background. How easy is it going to be for her to get back into the workforce, which is another issue. You know, are there jobs out there? For example, there's certain positions in construction that for either party would be difficult because the level of construction has been down. Now, what about, for example, if this mom who's decided that she wants to work just a couple times a week part-time as a teacher's aide, what if, for example, she has a nursing degree? And I'm using that as an example because, in general, it's very easy to get a nursing job, and we're still looking for nurses. So why, or I should say, would it be reasonable for someone with a nursing degree who might be able to go back for a very short refresher course and work full-time as a nurse, is it reasonable under the circumstances for her to be working part-time as a teacher's aide? Well, again, we have to look at a lot more facts in the case, and that's why I guess I should say it drives me nuts when people think it's just all cookie cutter. Because, for example, what happens if the situation is the mom is working in a preschool and her triplets get to attend the preschool for free. Well, that's a factor, because if she was working somewhere else and had to have daycare for her triplets, you have to look at the cost, the weigh the cost benefit. What if she's working in the school because she has a special needs child who's attending the school, and any time that he is not in school, there's an assumption that she can also take off. In other words, her flexibility, that makes a big difference. Now, of course, one of the things that I find, and I think is true, that very often dads who've been very busy building their career, they want to spend time with their children, and so they want to shift their lives so they can, in fact, spend more time with the children, and they feel that the wife is not going back to get the job that she's been trained for or could easily get a job that paid more money, but she's not doing it simply because, you know, she wants more alimony. Now, I often get the question from women, well, I shouldn't go out to work now because, you know, I will get less alimony. Well, I guess it depends on our basic philosophy, but it seems to me that anyone who is able to be self-supporting should be. Also, of course, that the woman who doesn't take the job, she runs the risk of more income being imputed to her. So that's another issue to think about. Frankly, one of the things that I like to find out is if the homemaker, spouse, husband or wife, doesn't really want to go back to work, what do they want to do? And I don't think it's enough to say, well, I'll just sit here. What will they do in order to enhance their education, for example? And that is very important. So if you have the person, and I've had this case, where the wife was able to go back to Raritan in the nursing program. So she, in I think either three semesters or four, was able to get a degree in nursing from Raritan. So that was great, because then she could go out and actually earn more money than we thought she'd be able to earn. So all of these things have to be taken into consideration based on all the circumstances of the case. And that's why I don't want to say it's a pet peeve, but certainly it's unfair if someone comes up to me and says, well, you know, tell me, blah, 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 blah. Now what's the answer? Because there's so many variables that go into whether or not there's going to be alimony, the amount of alimony, the duration of alimony, and they're all very specific. And it's hard enough to guess after you have all the information, because then, of course, what's not in the mix is the judge, and we don't know what the judge is going to do. So I'll be back after a short break, and we'll talk more about this.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
I agree. They are trophies and a whole lot more. I was able to get a Chicago Blackhawk sweatshirt made up there, or t-shirt actually, made up there a few weeks ago. They did a great job, and, you know, had to wear it to the Devils game, where, of course, my Blackhawks lost. But they're, you know, really helpful if you have any stupid questions, such as I did. So let's hear from someone else, and then we'll be back with a few more comments.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Okay, and I think one of the tips that he gave recently was about ProTech and a toolkit set to repair gadgets. And I think that was something he actually recommended, if I recall. So that's a good program to listen to get great advice on tech tips. So back with what we're talking about, and we're talking about income, of course. And so one of the issues that the judges often have to do is determine whether or not they're going to have to impute income to the husband or wife. So let's assume that one of the spouses is unemployed. They would certainly, in that case, determine whether or not that's legitimate, whether or not the person would be given some time to either find a job or go back to school to get some skills, and or whether or not to simply impute income based on some factors that they'll look into at the time of trial. So very often, you know, imputation of income is an issue in a divorce case. Now, does a judge have to impute income? Can they never impute income? Do they have to go with exactly what the person is earning? No, actually, the court can impute income, and however, it's discretionary. There's a quote from a case that says, imputation of income is a discretionary matter not capable of precise or exact determination, but rather requires a trial judge to realistically appraise the capacity to earn and the job availability. So a few years ago, when it was almost impossible to find jobs, when so many people were being laid off, of course, you would have thought the judges immediately understood and cut support. Wrong. One of the real problems I find in the court system is that it's extremely difficult to get a reduction in alimony if someone has been paying for a long time. I haven't had a case where it's just been a short time. But it's extremely difficult and can be very cost prohibitive, because what will happen in those cases, the court we'll look at the circumstances surrounding the person's termination. And they'll look at the other spouse and whether they can handle life without a subsidy in the way of alimony. But it's a very interesting area, and it's the next big area that I think is going to be fought. There's some legislation that touch on it, but not really on this issue yet, other than the other than what's going on now. So, there are a number of cases that talk about imputation of income, and what I have mentioned before in this program is that when you read a case, read the decision. That's really what it is. It's the decision that the courts provide us. Now, it wasn't a problem with, it was a problem. So, anyway, let me just, so what is the difficulty? Well, of course, the difficulty is the judge has to take a look at all of these issues to determine whether or not he or she should impute income. In other words, if it's a mom with three toddlers, one of the things that the court might say is, well, in light of the ages of the children, mom may not be able to get a job that pays enough for her to pay the babysitter. And that would certainly be one of the issues that they'd have to grapple with. What are the costs to mom if she goes back to work? What additional costs are she going to have? Is she going to be strapped with daycare costs? Actually, there are times where the amount of support that one parent saves is offset by other costs. So, you know, folks, we need to be practical about these things. There are specific guidelines with respect to whether or not something can be, or I should not say something, but whether income can be imputed to the person who's underemployed, not employed, and there are lots of other reasons. And, of course, the trial court is authorized to impute income for the purpose of determining child support and actually determining alimony. When a parent is found to be voluntarily unemployed or underemployed without cause. And so that's where the courts have the right to make these decisions, and that's why it becomes very important. And it really does, very important. Now, the parents or parties or parents' ability to earn income, it should be theoretically activated for the purpose of evaluating his or her classification. So that's what they're saying. Get as much information as possible and then give that information to the evaluator and let him make a decision. So we know that the court has the authority, and that is in fact part of the New Jersey Child Support Guidelines. So these were adopted a few years ago, and the important part of the guidelines say that if the diagnosis demands that either attorney and parent provides evidence. Let me back up a little bit there. If the court finds that either parent is without justifiable concern, if in fact that person is able to go and I'm sorry, we had a little glitch there in the program. I think there seems to be, I need to take a look at the board, so why don't I go to the news and then we'll come back and talk to the sports guys.
This is USA Radio News. I'm Melody Burkett. The FBI says Wednesday San Bernardino mass shooting is now being investigated as an act of terrorism. More from correspondent Jason Wirt.
FBI Assistant Director for Los Angeles David Bowditch has confirmed what many have suspected about the San Bernardino shootings.
As of today, based on the information and the facts as we know them, we are now investigating these horrific acts as an act of terrorism.
Bowditch added the evidence has shown significant planning and preparation for the assault, and they also have electronic evidence showing the killers in contact with other terrorism suspects. I'm Jason Wirt.
A Los Angeles County supervisor is catching heat for a comment he made about the mass shooting. Supervisor Michael Antonovich said, quote, "The first thing I asked about this incident is the guy named Muhammad." Muslim leaders in Los Angeles are condemning that choice of words, saying it's unfairly singling out Muslims over other people of different religions who carry out mass killings. This is USA Radio News. I'm Melody Burkett.
B-Dubs presents B-Dubbing.
All right. They're up by 21, but now's not the time to quit. Now's the time to
buy a holiday gift card at Buffalo Wild Wings.
They think they've beaten us, but yard by